And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is the zombie apocalypse. And it just amazes me when there's news stories about how some of these various traitors of the Republican persuasion are saying that Obama's economic policy is not working. Oh, yes, it is. It's working exactly as planned to collapse our entire financial system, to have millions of people on the street homeless with no food to eat, because whatever they can do to bring about martial law. And, of course, most of the slave work units will be crying for the government to step in when something like that happens. And what's our alternative? Romney, who somebody sent me an article, actually. Apparently, Romney's a pedophile, too. And, of course, he's admitted, and they've had it on the mainstream media, that he's been friends with Benjamin Netanyahu, the chief Zionist in Israel, for 30 years. So nothing's going to change, folks, but... Anyways, getting back to the zombie apocalypse. They've been putting rabies in vaccines, as I said, but also spraying it over the countryside, alleging it is a rabies vaccine. And you can check this out for yourself. The name of the vaccine is Raboral, R-A-B-O-R-A-L. Put Raboral into your search engine and read about this vaccine yourself. Now, like all live vaccines, to call it a vaccine is just basically, you know, pure fraud. They're dropping live rabies virus in little bait packets all over the countryside, millions and millions of them. And this is supposed to prevent rabies in the, you know, animals in the wild. Now, how is getting them to eat a packet of rabies bait going to prevent rabies? This is insane. And in fact, a woman in Pennsylvania actually picked up one of these Raboral bait packets, which was leaking, and developed a vaccinia virus infection. Vaccinia is the chimera formed, thanks to Edward Jenner, when you take the smallpox virus and combine it with cowpox virus, you end up with this virus called vaccinia. How is vaccinia getting into the live rabies bait packets? How is that happening? Because they're putting it in there, people. So it's not just rabies. It's vaccinia as well. And, of course, this woman had to be, quote-unquote, treated for vaccinia after picking up this bait package. So be careful as you're out and about, walking your dogs or whatever. If you have any trails in your neighborhood or... You know, if you go on vacation and you see some little square thing, do not pick it up. Do not let your dog sniff it. And make sure you thank your public health department for doing so. And I actually went to the Pennsylvania Department of Health page, and they have statistics because that's the state that this woman became infected with vaccinia after picking up one of the bait packages. They have a page on the Pennsylvania Department of Health website, Annual Orals Rabies Vaccine in Western Pennsylvania. And they're talking about the distribution. Now, this is just Western Pennsylvania. Allegheny, Beaver, Crawford, Erie, Greene, Lawrence, Mercer, and Washington counties. And they're asking for hospitals to share with all medical, pediatric, infection control, nursing, and laboratory staff in your hospital. If this is going to decrease the rabies, how come they're asking all the hospitals to share this little factoid with all their workers? But they want people to know about their oral rabies vaccine baiting campaign. This is the 11th year. Cooperating federal, state, and county agencies are conducting an oral rabies vaccine baiting project in parts of Western Pennsylvania during August and September. Baits will be distributed in the aforementioned counties and will be dropped from low-flying airplanes or helicopters, as well as by local teams on foot or in vehicles, including boats. The vaccine is Raboral-V, manufactured by Merial, M-E-R-I-A-L, Incorporated, in Athens, Georgia. There's Georgia again. The MSDS is available at such and such a web page. It contains five live, highly attenuated recombinant vaccinia virus. So here you go. It's admitted right in this document off the Pennsylvania Department of Health site that it in fact does contain recombinant vaccinia virus. Why? It doesn't tell us. Why are they putting recombinant vaccinia virus in a rabies vaccine? The liquid in the sachet is pink in color. It's coated or placed inside a fish meal block. It's specifically designed to attract wild raccoons, which are immunized when they bite into the sachet. The baits have been tested safely in dogs, cats, and other domestic animals and should not harm them even if ingested. Yeah, just like they've tested all vaccines. Right, shouldn't harm anybody. Okay. Report any suspected accidental human vaccine contact and suspected adverse events to the appropriate local health department or district via their toll-free number. And then they give the numbers. Consultation is available for human exposures to vaccine and for suspected adverse events. Of course, I'm sure in most cases, just like with all vaccines, they say, oh, couldn't have possibly have anything to do with the vaccine. Consultation is particularly important for ocular exposures, that means eyes, or exposed individuals with immune suppression or immune deficiency, and for individuals who develop one or more vesicles, in other words, vaccinia, in other words, smallpox infection, for whom they have vaccinia immune globulin and antiviral agents are available. So this is very interesting. Of course, they say that basically it's safe. There should be no problem. But if there is a problem, call this number. Since 1990, more than 100 million doses, 100 million doses of this vaccine have been distributed in the United States. The only two documented human adverse reactions occurred after pet dogs punctured baits and owners had direct contact of the vaccine with non-intact skin. Once again, should be safe, but sometimes it's not. Although these programs have produced very few documented adverse human events anywhere in the world, it is important to educate individuals to avoid contact with the bait contents, wash any areas of accidental exposure, and maintain surveillance for adverse events, including vesicles that develop on skin areas exposed to vaccine at bite wound sites. So, once again, why on earth are they putting vaccinia virus into this rabies bait package? What's up with that? No explanation of that. They know that immune-suppressed people or people with non-intact skin are going to possibly get infected with vaccinia. That is like smallpox. Why are they doing this, people? Why have they been spraying 100 million packets since 1990? And even so, occasionally, only occasionally, do we get a report of a rabid animal someplace. So they're trying real hard, but, you know, they're not able to get to the level at which they want to get. But whatever they've done to this rabies virus to make it now produce such amazing amounts of cannibals, obviously they've stepped it up, and I'm sure they're playing with the rabies virus. So I got a report that two people in the UK have also come down with rabies, and they state that, you know, UK doesn't have rabies, so of course they're blaming it on the fact that the two people that came down with rabies had come back from some Asian country where they must have been bitten by a rabid dog. Of course, one of the women who ended up dying, you know, didn't mention that she'd been bitten by any rabid dog in Asia. I guess she just forgot to mention that. But, you know, whatever. This is the kind of crap that they feed us, believing that people will not figure it out for themselves. Okay. I also received an email. Actually, this one was back in February, that they found cannibal viruses in Antarctica. And this is what they do these psychopaths. They go all over the world, just like we've talked about before on the show, that minions from the various alphabet agencies that are paid for by our government had gone to Alaska to dig up dead bodies of people that died of the 1918 flu, which was not flu, actually started in the military from a variety of vaccines that they gave the military. You know, they morph and they combine with each other and they create monster viruses. And this is all explained in the book, Vaccinations, the Silent Killer. But they have their virus hunters. And that's what their virus hunters do. They go to other places in the world and they look for bad viruses so that they can play with them and make them much worse. And in fact, this was reported out of Australia, that a virus that attacks other viruses has been discovered in a hypersaline, which means high salt content, lake near Davis Station in Antarctica. All right, there's music again. Get back to this after the break. And we're back with What's in America, where my answer today is a zombie apocalypse. Before the break, I was talking about these cannibal viruses that were discovered in Antarctica. And this article out of Australia talks about how this is the first virus found that's a virophage. Now, we've talked about bacteriophages on the show before, but bacteriophages are like small viruses that can actually insert their DNA or RNA into bacteria. But now we have one that can do that to viruses. And what it says in the article is that a virophage is different in that it targets a host cell that is already infected by a quote-unquote regular virus. As the regular virus goes about replicating itself, the virophage hijacks the process by inserting its own genome into the virus. It can then make copies of itself at the expense of the regular virus, whose own replication is significantly reduced. And, of course, what they don't say is that it can also inject DNA or RNA into the other virus. And so, in that way, modifying the virus and creating a monster virus. And so, this was published in 2011. There's no question in my mind. I'm sure they've been playing with this because that's what they do, and develop some kind of monster virus. And there could be others besides rabies, but I'm convinced that rabies is one of them that could actually not only be much more powerful than the regular rabies virus, but also possibly could be controlled electronically. Now, I talked on a prior show, and this is an article out of the BBC, bbc.com/news/technology. Magnetic bacteria may help build future biocomputers. They now made magnetic bacteria, and these are self-replicating. And, of course, this brings about the idea of Morgellons. And just imagine if you had some kind of a monster bacteria/virus creation that could self-replicate, that had magnetic qualities, that was actually able to be affected by frequencies. So you could actually cause behaviors to become self-evident and manifest itself whenever you wanted by putting out frequencies through all the different ways they're putting out frequencies, including cell phone towers, HD TV, you name it. You know, it's just unbelievable what's going on. And once you start going down these rabbit holes, of course, there is no end. It's a black hole. And we're paying for this, people. And it's getting worse every day. And this is what people need to face and realize, that this is what's going on. Okay, I just want to mention some of the other reports that I'm getting about what's going on. Okay, we have a report out of the UK. Let's see. Guy eats man's face and brains. More zombie nose. Man stabs himself, throws his own skin and intestines at the police. Miami man goes crazy, starts chewing the face off a cat. So obviously there's a lot of stuff happening down there in Florida. And at the same time, all this is going on, the government is conducting top secret training in Tampa, reported in Off-Grid Survival in Miami. Interesting. Another Miami attack last month, and that's the one we started with, where the police shot and killed a man after he was eating the face off another man. Okay. There's a commercial now in Illinois that's advising people to buckle up and be ready for anything, like maybe a zombie coming at you when you're in your car. I mean, they don't say that in the commercial, but very interesting. I'm just looking to see other ones. An Atlanta man was bitten by a rabid bat, allegedly. Although he's probably got the flu vaccine around the same time, but they're going to blame the bat. Let's see. A Morganton, Georgia woman has tested positive for rabies. See, the ones where they're actually admitting rabies, these are not in the cannibals. So maybe they're just seeing how many people will actually become cannibals. Some people don't have that reaction. So in those people, they're admitting that it's rabies. Because, of course, they're going to, you know, try to scare people into getting all their pets vaccinated with rabies. So that then if the pets become rabid, like that cat did here in North Carolina, and bites or scratches the owner, well, then that's another way to do the job. Florida raccoon has tested positive for rabies. North Georgia officials are warning residents of the rabies increase. Let's see. There are so many of these. Polk County, Florida confirms 6 positive rabies cases after 2 dogs found dead. Rabies alert issued in Suwanee County, Florida. Now, don't forget, 100 million rabies packets dropped since 1990. Of course, they never mentioned that along with any of these articles about the rabies alerts. But you can be sure they're spraying Florida as well. They're spraying everywhere. I'm just reading through these. Man bites woman in Westchester. Man bites cousin's nose off. Georgia contractor bites Lowe's employees. Okay. Which, just so you know, a human bite is much more dangerous than an animal bite to begin with. Because the human mouth is actually much dirtier than an animal's mouth, which I was amazed to learn in medical school because, you know, animals do groom themselves and they groom all of their orifices. So that was kind of surprising to me. But if somebody came in with a human bite, it was always considered more serious than an animal bite to begin with. So you add the whole rabies situation in there and it's just a nightmare. This one was very interesting. One of my Across the Pond listeners sent me an article out of a news service in Stockholm, Sweden, that a man, a prominent researcher at the Karolinska Institute, got the idea that his wife had been unfaithful. He attacked her with a knife, cut off her lips, and ate them. He's being held on suspicion of a serious assault. I mean, the wife has no lips. I mean, what do you mean suspicion? And so, of course, And it says he's admitted the facts. He admit that he attacked her with a knife, cut off her lips, and ate them. So, of course, the first question that I asked myself was, what was this man researching? Because we do know that these mad scientists work in various laboratories all over the world. And perhaps he got infected with something that he was working with. And that's what gave him the idea to do this to his wife. Okay. All right, here's another one. Maryland student 21 admits eating housemate's heart and part of his brain. And this was actually reported on CNN. Hours after his family members alerted police to a human head and two hands they discovered stashed in metal tins, a Maryland man admitted killing his housemate, cutting him up, then eating his heart and part of his brain. Alexander Kenua, and very interesting, most of the people they're showing in these articles are all people of color. I find that interesting. Of course, that's going to help the whole racial divide thing. Okay, he's 21 years old. He was being held without bail after being charged with first-degree murder, first-degree assault, and second-degree assault. Apparently, you know, eating somebody is just considered murder and assault. His roommate, a name too hard to pronounce, had left his Joppa Town home 6 days earlier for an apparent early morning jog. Wearing a t-shirt and shorts, he left his wallet, cell phone, and identification at home. On Tuesday, the perpetrator's father called the Hartford County detective assigned to the missing persons case of the victim and told him about his son's tins and what they contained. So there you go. So that's what happened in Maryland. Okay, and in regards to this Miami guy who ate the face off another guy, there's also an article where the face eater's girlfriend suspects voodoo. The girlfriend of the man who chewed off most of another man's face believes her boyfriend was either drugged or a voodoo curse was put on him. Not that he was practicing voodoo, but he had a voodoo curse. Let's see. They say this guy with his face eaten off is still alive. I don't know if he is still alive today. But as of yesterday, reportedly, he was still alive, fighting for his life. The girlfriend wants to remain anonymous. But she says that the supernatural or drugs are the only reason that this could have possibly happened. Apparently, she doesn't know about the NIH, the CDC, DARPA, and all of these other agencies with mad scientists that create these monstrous things that are causing all kinds of problems. And then we also have this guy in Paris, Luca Rocco Magnata, who apparently, no, I'm sorry, he was actually in Canada when he decided to kill and dismember a former model and escort. He flew to Paris on the day of the killing. And apparently, he was sending body parts to various individuals. I mean, this is so sick. You can't even believe this stuff is happening. But, of course, it is. And that's why I'm trying to let you know that this is very widespread. I haven't seen any of these stories on the mainstream media, which I have on pretty much throughout the day as I'm doing various things, working on my computer. I spend a lot of time on the phone, so obviously I don't have it when I'm on the phone. But I watch for any coverage of these kinds of things, and it's just not there. But interesting, right now, on, let's see, I have, what do I have on the background? On MSNBC, they have Jeffrey Dahmer on, and he's talking about how the reason that he put holes in his victims and injected muriatic acid into their skulls is because he wanted to make them into zombies that he could control. So I find that very interesting that they're having an interview of Jeffrey Dahmer, who, of course, was killed in prison, where he's talking about how he wanted to create zombies for himself. Pretty amazing stuff. Okay, I'm just getting a message. Let me see. Somebody's writing to me asking me to mention Alexander Backman. In fact, Alexander Backman is translating all of Kevin Annette's information into Spanish to put out to people, which is wonderful because a lot of the Spanish people, of course, are being duped by the Catholic Church. And, you know, it's important for them to get involved as well. But Alexander Backman had actually sent me that biggest list of cannibalistic type goings on all over the world. And I'm looking for his website. Can't find it at the moment. But, yes, it's good to know how many people are in the know about these things. And he has a radio show as well and has told me he's going to have me on his show at some point. Okay. I have another email from, let's see. I don't know where this is from exactly. Oh, conspiracyhq.com/blog. conspiracyhq.com/blog, which somebody sent me. And this was written yesterday. And the question being asked is, has the real zombie apocalypse begun, or is it the Black Awakening? And it talks about a situation in Houston, Texas, 2003, that somebody by the name of Charles Ward claims that he went to visit a St. Joseph's Hospital in Houston, Texas, to see a friend. Upon entering the hospital, he saw Army personnel and what looked to be federal agents of some sort. Let me say again, this was back in 2003. Inside, he shared an elevator with two of these suits while noticing how quiet and the hard glaze on their faces. After visiting with his friend, he ended up following some agents down the opposite wing of the hospital. After rounding a corner, he claims to have seen a patient hunched over another patient and appeared to be eating flesh while the two agents watched on. When his cell phone went off, the agents noticed him and began yelling for him to get out of here. He was grabbed by the two agents, taken to the elevator, and told to go home. After returning home and thinking about what had just happened, he believed the only reason he was allowed to leave was because who would believe him? And so he also talks about on this blog, linking to a story on CNN about a doctor being decapitated that night by a malfunctioning elevator. Yeah, I hate when that happens, when elevators decapitate you. So anyways, this was in Houston, Texas, at the St. Joseph's Hospital in 2003. Now, what were they studying there? Very interesting, as this is now 2012 and we're having cannibalistic behaviors happening. Perhaps there was a study being done, you know, one of those clinical trial things. So that's pretty amazing. And there's all kinds of other things in this article. But I also just want to mention that this Black Awakening situation, one of my listeners had sent me a book by a pastor, Russ Dizdar, D-I-Z-D-E-R, who was talking for years about the coming Black Awakening, where these ritually abused victims would begin to play out chaos programming. He claims that in his time as a minister, it has been revealed to him that the Dark Brotherhood has been programming these individuals for years for a future date when they will cause helter-skelter upon the earth. The same thing was covered in Stephen King's book and film Needful Things, where the devil goes to a small town in Maine and starts tricking the population into possessing things they lust after. He makes a deal with them. You can have this object, but you have to do something in return. usually starts out with a small thing, like steal your neighbor's mail and put it in another vehicle. The neighbor who had his mail stolen would be sent to put sugar in the tank of his neighbor's truck and would happen to see the mail. This would start a feud amongst two people without ever knowing the truth. Suddenly, the entire town was covered in bizarre incidents resulting in outright anarchy. So that's interesting. And, of course, they do things like that, too. But it turns out that the devil had a plan to have the town self-destruct by tricking people into killing each other. And this is the same kind of thing that Dizdar talks about. And actually, one thing that just amazed me, this Russ Dizdar, one of the things he says is that basically, you know, God has given Satan, Lucifer, whatever, you know, permission to reign at this time. He has his rights. It's like his constitutional right, I guess, to cause all these things. And so basically his message was there's really nothing you can do because this is God's will. You know, just sit back and try to avoid the carnage if possible. So that's kind of a strange message from a pastor, in my opinion. Okay, the next article I have, and I wish one of you would call in. At least I could see if the phone's working. I also received an article from this Alexander Backman. Oh, here's his website, alexanderbackman.com, B-A-C-K-M-A-N.com. In regards to a what he's calling a smoking gun, a bioengineered microbe made from scratch, and its name is Cynthia. And he's asking the question, could the flesh-eating zombies have anything to do with this Cynthia creation, which I'll talk about in a minute. It says that in 2003, a small virus was successfully synthesized that infects bacteria. Well, they've had bacteriophages for a long time, but, you know, I'm sure this is a special one that they made. And in 2010, it was revealed that this group had created a self-replicating bacterial cell controlled by a chemically synthesized genome that they named Synthetic Mycoplasma Mycoides. And that's where they got the name Cynthia from. It has no natural DNA, and let's see, it also has antibiotic resistance indicators. I'm sure it's not resistant to colloidal silver. This new life form has the ability to replicate itself and originally function in any cell into which it's been introduced. Its DNA is artificial, and it's the synthetic DNA that takes control of the cell and is credited with being the building block of life. This is the first self-replicating synthetic bacterial cell thanks to its computer-generated DNA. All of the funding for this came from Synthetic Genomics, Inc., the company BP has a sizable equity position and alliance with. So obviously BP is way beyond petroleum. Okay, what happens if a human becomes infected with a life-threatening variant bacterial species of Cynthia? Antibiotics won't work, obviously. And let's see. I have to skim through this. Would the Cynthia cells combine with other bacterium within us to create a new deadly bacterium? Well, of course it would. That's what bacteria do. They get together, they exchange DNA. I mean, I actually learned about that in medical school. Since the microorganism is created and gets its programming from computers, would we become subject to artificial electromagnetic frequencies recognized by these genomes? Of course we would, and I talked about the magnetic bacteria that they've made as well. I mean, there's so many things going on. It's just mind-boggling. So keep connecting the dots. There's the music. We'll be right back to finish up after these messages. Stay tuned.
Life, a novel, no one else has read. Even
We're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where today our answer has been a zombie apocalypse. And I was just reading some information from an email I received from Alexander Backman in regards to this new synthetic bacteria that's been created. And I've talked about this on the show some time ago. This was actually covered on 60 Minutes, amazingly. And the quote-unquote maverick biologist and billionaire entrepreneur that's done this, his name is Craig Venter. And there's a very interesting article that you can access on dailymail.co.uk /science-tech/article. And here is the title: Scientist Accused of Playing God After Creating Artificial Life by Making Designer Microbe from Scratch. But could it wipe out humanity? Now, the fact that they're allowing this mad scientist to do this, I mean, where is the oversight? How could something like this be allowed to occur when they have no idea what's going to happen? Because it actually is able to survive where, quote-unquote, real bacteria cannot. But this is what the article says, and this is from June 3rd, 2010. Scientists today lined up to air their fears over genome pioneer's claims that he has created artificial life in the laboratory. The new life form, which has been nicknamed Cynthia, paves the way for customized bugs that could revolutionize healthcare and fuel production, according to its maker. But there are fears that the research developed in the journal Science could be abused to create the ultimate biological weapon, or that one mistake in a lab could lead to millions being wiped out by a plague in scenes reminiscent of the Will Smith film I Am Legend. What is really amazing in this article is on the second page. They actually have a diagram which basically shows how to make artificial life. First, they take a Mycoplasma mycoides, which is one of the strains of Mycoplasma. Mycoplasma incognitus is the mycoplasma which they bioengineered in a lab. That's the mycoplasma that they put in the anthrax vaccines given to soldiers in Desert Storm. So this mycoplasma is an organism that they like to play with on a regular basis. But for some reason, he took the strain mycoides of mycoplasma, took out its DNA, and actually, well, they state that this is a bug that usually infects goats. But as I've said many times, all of these organisms can, you know, basically combine with other organisms and mutate and create superbugs of all types. So they're buying fragments of DNA from a mail order catalog. Each of the four bottles of chemicals contains a section of the code. The fragments are put into yeast, which stitches them together, gradually building a synthetic copy of the original DNA. So they're taking the actual DNA of the mycoplasma bug. They're putting it together with four synthetic amino acids that they've created, because our DNA is made up with different combinations of these substances. He created synthetic ones, put them in with the DNA from the mycoplasma, and the yeast stitches them together. Now, this is pretty scary, because what's one of the main things that anybody that takes antibiotics has? Systemic yeast infections. Okay, so you see where I'm going with this. So having systemic yeast infections is actually going to make something like this more likely to happen in you. The artificial DNA is then put into a recipient bacteria, which grows and divides, creating daughter cells, one with the artificial DNA and one with the natural DNA. Then they use antibiotics to kill the natural DNA. The synthetic DNA is not killed, and so therefore it's the only one left in the petri dish. Within just a few hours, all traces of the recipient bug are wiped out and bugs with artificial DNA thrive. New life has been created. But what's really frightening? Possible uses are bugs capable of producing clean fuels and sucking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. Also, microbes capable of mopping up oil slicks or generating drugs, including the flu vaccine. So here you go. They have no idea what this is going to do. As I've told you so many times, they're not vaccinating you with an organism. They're not vaccinating you against an organism. They're inoculating you with an organism. And anything else in the bacteria or viral culture, such as the tissue cells used to make the vaccine, or any other chemicals that are in there, they're injecting that stuff into you as well. So this is the plan, to make a flu vaccine with this synthetic bacteria. So therefore, you will be injected with the synthetic bug as well. And of course, what's going to happen, especially if you have a yeast infection, well, that new bug is going to go crazy and infect you. And this is what's going on. And Kenneth Oi, a social scientist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which, you know, doesn't really have much to say as far as I'm concerned on doing very dangerous things, because I've reported to you many times how MIT already did a study using pulsed magnetic pulses to destroy moral judgment. So, you know, one of those people has stated in this article from the Daily Mail that right now we are shooting in the dark as to what the long-term benefits and long-term risks will be. Somebody else by the name of Pat Mooney, a technology watchdog with a special interest in synthetic biology, said, "This is a Pandora's box moment, like the splitting of the atom or the cloning of Dolly the sheep. We will all have to deal with the fallout from this alarming experiment. So, you know, once again, no precautionary principle. It's not like they have to prove that something is safe before they do it. They're allowed to just do it, and then we have to prove that it wasn't a good thing after the fact. And this is actually part of the FDA's credo. It holds true for anything that happens. EPA, USDA, it's all the same thing, especially applies to GMO food. I have different statements from some of these minions where they've actually stated that it has to be proved that something is bad for it to be taken off the market. No precautionary principle, once again. Not that we have to be careful of what we unleash. Once it's unleashed, we have to prove it's bad. Now, who's going to prove it's bad? All of the agencies protect the people that are making all of this insane stuff. So it would have to be a group of consumers coming together, spending lots and lots of cash, hiring attorneys to bring some kind of action, never going to happen. So basically, there's nothing we can do. And this is happening now with synthetic biology, which is really a very, very scary right out of the Twilight Zone, as I said. They have some information about this Craig Venter. He was born in 1946. He was an average scholar with a keen interest in surfing. While serving in Vietnam and tending to wounded comrades is when he was inspired to become a doctor. During his medical training, he excelled in research and was quick to realize the importance of decoding genes. In 1992, he set up the Private Institute for Genomic Research. A mere 3 years later, he stunned the scientific establishment by revealing the first complete genome of a free-living organism that causes childhood ear infections and meningitis. In 2005, he founded his private company, Synthetic Genomics, with the aim of engineering new life forms that he would produce for alternative fuels. He was listed on Time Magazine's 100 list of the most influential people in both 2007 and 2008. And now, other than, you know, novel fuels, now he's getting an idea to produce novel drugs and vaccines, or organisms engineered to live on Mars and other planets. Okay. It is possible to imagine a synthetic microbe going on the rampage, perhaps wiping out all the world's crop plants or eventually humanity itself. Okay, scanning. Okay, well, that's about it. So, once again, like I said, no precautionary principle. They don't have to prove that there's no danger to people or the earth by doing these insane things. They just do them. And then he gets written up in Time magazine as being one of, you know, the most influential people. Well, I'm sure he's going to be, because all the things that these monsters are doing are creating the hell on earth in which we live. And that's why it's very important for you to spread the word to others. Wake up as many as you can, not to live in fear, but to protect yourself. And once again, colloidal silver is very important. There's also homeopathics against rabies, but don't have anything against Cynthia. So please tell others about the show, and have a nice weekend here in hell. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
This is rather interesting. This is one of the latest of Dear Leader's executive orders, and it was just posted up on his WhiteHouse.com.